السلام علیکم ورحمت اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. We're continuing now with the battle of Qadisiyah, which took place in the zamana of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So we discussed yesterday up to the point where da'wat was given to Yazdegird and the delegation now returned. So after this, Rustam set out with his massive army, plus minus 100,000 or more strong. As he was passing a place called Kuti, that's a village between Madain and Babel, he met an Arab man. Rustam questioned him, "What brought you people here and what do you want from us?" He replied, "We seek the fulfillment of Allah's promise of owning your land and men if you refuse to become Muslims." So Rustam mocked, "We have indeed been placed in your hands," sarcastically telling him. So the Arab replied that Allah the Almighty delivered you to us due to your misdeeds. Don't be deluded by what you see around you. You are not disputing with men. You are trying to fight off what has been predestined by Allah Ta'ala. So Rustam became furious and he killed this man, made this man shaheed. He moved on and he reached a place called Burs. This was another village between Kufa and Hilla. So his army enslaved the young men there and pillaged their possessions. They became drunk with wine and they took the izzat of the woman of that village. The villagers complained to Rustam about his army. And Rustam said to his men, "By God, the Arab was right." He's talking about the same Arab that he killed. He said, "The Arab was right. We have not been placed in their hands except due to our deeds. By God, the Arabs behave much better with these people, even though they are at war with them." But these Arab tribes that were on the border here, they had peace treaties with the Persians. He's saying, "We are at peace with these people, and this is how we behaved with them. The Arabs are at war with them, but they treat them in a better manner." When Sa'ad radiallahu anhu got news of Rustam's advance, he sent forward a detachment of 12 scouts, which included Amr bin Ma'd Karib al-Zabidi and Tuleha bin Khuwaylid Asadi. So the reason for sending these scouts was to gather intelligence now, find out about the army, where they are, etc. They did not have to go far before discovering the enemy's massive army spread across the horizon. They returned to Sa'ad radiallahu anhu. Only Tuleha stayed behind. He didn't come. He decided to get more precise information. So he entered the enemy lines secretly. And he gained first-hand information of their men and material. He came back to Sa'ad radiallahu anhu and reported the whole situation. Now this Tuleha was the same Tuleha who was one of the leaders of apostasy after the demise of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Umar radiallahu anhu had allowed those apostates who repented later on to participate in jihad. Right? But obviously, they were not given high positions, etc. Right? But both the Tuleha and Amr al-Zabidi, they showed a lot of heroism during the wars in Iraq against the Persians. So Rustam marched forward with his army from Hira, which is about 3 miles from Kufa, until they reached Qadisiyah. Now Qadisiyah is about 75 miles from Kufa. They pitched their tents near Al-Atiq, the bridge of Qadisiyah. And obviously they are now opposite the Muslim army. They are on the opposite side of the Muslim army. The two armies were separated by a river. The Persians had brought 33 elephants with them. So Rustam sent a message to Sa'd radiallahu anh, send us a man whom we may talk to before the war. Let's see if we can resolve our dispute. Sa'd sent Rib'i ibn Amir for this task. When he entered the court, he saw Rustam seated on a throne made of gold. Even the cushions, the rugs, and the carpets were woven with gold. Rib'i did not dismount from his horse. With his sword wrapped in rags and his broken spear kept intact by wrapping a cloth around the two broken ends. That was his corner. Now this side, Rustam is making a show of his wealth. And that side, Rib'i, his sword also is wrapped in rags, his spear also is just kept intact by wrapping a cloth around the two broken ends. But when he reached the carpets, he allowed his mount to walk on the carpets. He dismounted, tied together the carpet with two cushions which he split open, and he tied his horse to this contraption, showing that there's no love for all of this. We're not overawed with all this. He took his camel cloak and wrapped himself in it. The Persians asked him to leave his weapons aside, to which he replied, had I come to you, I would have complied, but you are the ones who invited me. If I came on my own accord, then I'll listen to your rules, but you called me here. Then he leaned on his spear and dragged it, ruining the carpet. As walking, he's ruining the carpet, and he came close to Rustam. He sat on the ground in front of Rustam and perched his spear in the carpet. And he said, we do not sit on your embellishments. So he sat on the floor, he didn't sit on the carpet. So Rustam asked him, what brought you here? Rib'i replied, Allah the Almighty brought us here to take whoever He wills from the slavery of men to the worship of Allah Ta'ala, from the worldly hardships to the comforts, and from oppression of false religions to the justice of Islam. So Allah the Almighty sent us His messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to all of His creation. Whoever accepts His call, we accept it from him and return from him, leaving him and his land alone. And whoever rejects this call, we fight him until we reach either victory or Jannat. In other words, either we will be victorious or we are made shaheed, then we go to Jannat. Rustam said, we have heard what you had to say. Can you delay this matter until we consider it? Give us some time to think over it. So Rib'i replied, yes, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us not to let this period be more than 3 days. We will not harm you for 3 days. Contemplate on this matter and choose one of the three options. Firstly, you choose Islam. In other words, you become Muslim. If you choose this, we leave you and your land alone. Secondly, you pay the jizya. In that case, we will accept without harming you. And if you need us, we will defend you. And the third is, we have open warfare on the fourth day, except if you attack us before that. Before the 3 days, if you attack us, then we will fight before that. And I am responsible for my companions. In other words, none of my companions will do anything contrary to this. Rustam said, are you their leader? He replied, no. But Muslims are like a single body. we belong to each other. The lower parts of the body represent the higher parts of it. Then he returned and left Rustam among his courtiers. Rustam asked his people, "Did you ever hear anything like this before?" When the courtiers belittled the appearance of Rivi, they're looking at his outer clothing, how his sword is, how his spear is. Rustam exclaimed, "You wretched souls, I am talking about his piety, his speech, and his character. Arabs don't care as much for their dressing as much as they care about their lineage. Their lineage, they're very, very pure. Dressing, they don't worry about it." The next day, he sent another message to Sa'ad radiallahu anhu. "Send that man to us again." This time, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu sent Huzaifa bin Mihsin Ghalafani. He didn't differ even an iota from Rib'i in his behavior, his answers, right? And also his disinterest in the grandeur of the court. So this is not a wonder, because both of them had drunk from the same spring, Islam. So Rustam inquired, "Why did not the same person come to us, the person who came yesterday?" He replied, "Our commander treats us equally in hardships and comforts. This is my turn." So Rustam asked, "When does the time limit expire?" Huzaifa replied to him, "It expires after the third day, starting from yesterday." In other words, today now is already the second day. The next day, Rustam again asked Sa'ad radiallahu anhu to send someone. So this time, Hazrat Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu went. He seated himself beside him on the throne, which prompted the courtiers to try to entice him. They thought, "No, this man, he's worried about the throne, so maybe you can entice him, you know." So Mughira radiallahu anhu said to them, "We used to hear fantastic stories about you, but I have not seen a more foolish people than you. We Arabs do not enslave one another, except if there is war between us. I thought that you two are compassionate towards your people. Now you tell me that the best of your achievements is that some of you are lords over others. Let me tell you, this will not last long. I did not come to you. It was you who invited me. I can see that you are already defeated, and kingship does not befit such characters and such brains." So the commoners present at the court, those people who were, you know, like the, what you call the laborers, the workers, so they said, "By God, this Arab has spoken the truth." Because obviously they on the receiving end, all the people on the top, they getting all the benefits, and these people must do all the work. The village leader said, he said something that our slaves would always be attracted to. "May God curse those before us. They used to make us believe this nation is insignificant," meaning the Arabs are insignificant. Rustam then made a speech to belittle the Arabs and magnify the greatness of the Persians. He also recalled that until recently, the Arabs used to live in extremely poor conditions. So Mughira radiallahu anhu responded to him. He said, "What you have mentioned about us being stricken with poverty and internal conflict, this is correct. We do not deny it. Such are the ways of the world. Hardships are followed by ease. If you are thankful to Allah Ta'ala for what He has given you, then your thankfulness will be very minimal compared to what Allah Ta'ala will bestow you with. However, your lack of thankfulness has brought about this change of fortunes for you. Allah the Almighty has sent to us His Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said exactly what the previous two ambassadors had said, and he ended his speech with presenting them the choice of Islam, jizya, or war. When he left, Rustam said to the Persians, "How do you compare them to yourself? Did not the other two come and talk to you wisely? They did not differ from each other at all. All of them had the same way, the same manner. By God, these are men. Whether they are liars or truthful, by God, if they are so meticulous in their manners and guarding secrets that they do not differ from each other at all, then no one can surpass them. If they are truthful, then by God, nothing can stop." This statement caused an uproar in the court of Rustam. So now we come to the war preparations itself. So the Persians did not respond to the call of the emissaries. They persisted in their waywardness so that the commandment of Allah Ta'ala would be executed. The Persians chose war, and the Muslims prepared themselves for battle. The Persians crossed the river Al-Atiq for the confrontation. Now this was exactly as Umar Radhiyallahu Anhu had advised, and also Musanna advised, that you don't go to them, let them come to you. So Rustam deployed his enormous army in the following fashion. The center of the army, what you call the qalb, the heart of the army, there was a person by the name of Dhul Hajib who was in command. He had 18 elephants with him, carrying men and also equipment. In the center right was Jalinus. On the right flank was Hormuzan. So this Hormuzan also had about 7 or 8 elephants carrying men and equipment. Center left was Beirzan. And the left flank was Mehran. Mehran also had about 8 elephants carrying men and equipment. So you had these 18 elephants in the center and 8 elephants on either side. Rustam posted a cavalry platoon to guard the bridge in order to prevent the Muslims from crossing it to encircle his army. The Muslims mustn't cross the bridge, come back and circle the Kuffar army. Now imagine, they got an army of 100,000, but he's worried about being encircled. The bridge was guarded on one side by the Muslim cavalry and on the other side by the Persian cavalry. The armies were organized in the following manner. The cavalry was in the first rows, followed by elephants, and the infantry, the people on foot, behind them. A huge marquee was pitched for Rustam, huge tent was pitched for him, right? Where he sat on his throne in the shade and observed the battle from his vantage point. The Muslims were very well prepared and well trained for the battle. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu had recruited his army very early. He had appointed numerous field commanders to the extent that he appointed an officer over every 10 men. He gave standards to veteran mujahideen and organized his forces in a pre-planned battle order as follows. The vanguard was Zuhra al-Hawiyya. The right flank, Abdullah bin Mut'im. Left flank, Sharjil bin Simit al-Kindi. And here was also Khalid bin Urfata, who was second in command of Sa'ad radiallahu anhu. And in the rear was Asim bin Amr. Then he also had scouts and rangers, right? The leader of that was Sawad bin Malik. Then he had independent units, if he needs them to move in a certain direction quickly. So Salman bin Rabi'a al-Bahiri. The infantry was Hammal bin Malik Asadi. The cavalry, Abdullah bin Sahmain al-Hanafi. The court martial general, Abdul Rahman bin Rabi'ah al-Bahili. The official transcriber, Ziyad bin Abi Sufyan. And the general, the spokesman was Salman Farsi. Because obviously Salman Farsi didn't know, he knew the language, right? All of these appointments were on the express instructions of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So Sa'd radiallahu anhu delivered a khutbah on this occasion, and he recited verses from the Quran Sharif. He read the verse, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. And indeed we have written in the Zabur, after we have already written in Lohe Mahfuz, that my righteous slaves shall inherit the land. He also ordered the Quranic experts to start reciting Suratul Anfal. By the time they finished, the troops had been blessed with tranquility and peace of mind. Sa'd radiallahu anhu told his men to launch an all-out attack at his fourth takbir. He will recite takbir. When it is the fourth takbir, they must attack. He asked them to keep reciting, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So while they're fighting, don't be unmindful of Allah. Keep reading, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So by reading, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, one is, you won't have fear for the enemy. The other is, you won't become proud of our own achievements. Right? Sa'd radiallahu anhu himself, at that particular time, he was afflicted with sciatica. His sciatica, a nerve, was troubling him. And he also had boils, which made it impossible for him to be mounted or even to sit on the ground. So he was laid face down, right, on his chest. They put a cushion under him and he's lying down flat in order to monitor the battle from the Qadis fort at Qadisiyah. He appointed Khalid bin Urfata as his deputy to relay his commands. He ordered that it should be announced in the army, envy is not permissible except in jihad for the religion of Allah Ta'ala. People be envious and jealous of each other in jihad. In other words, compete with one another for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Before the commencement of the battle, people started differing with Sa'd Radnanu's deputy, Khalid bin Urfata. Some, you know, difference took place. Hearing this, Sa'd radiallahu anhu said, carry me, pick me up so that I can see the troops. So they took him up, right? They picked him up, laid him face down so that he was able to look down at the army now from a height. Khalid bin Urfata was in the row immediately beneath the fort's wall. From there, Sa'd radiallahu anhu would order Khalid below and Khalid would pass on the orders to the army. However, some people began disputing Khalid's authority. This insubordination enraged Sa'd radiallahu anhu. So he shouted them in a loud voice. He said, by Allah, had not the enemy been present here, I would have made you an example for others. I would have punished you. He ordered these men, right, these men who were, you know, disputing, he ordered that they must be taken off the battlefield and they must go sit in the fort. And then he stressed the importance of being obedient to the person in authority. Because once you're going to have differences, then you won't be able to fight as one unit. After this incident, Sa'd radiallahu anhu stood up to deliver a khutbah. He praised Allah Ta'ala. He again read the same ayat, وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ Right? And then he said to them, this is your inheritance. And your Rabb's promise. Allah the Almighty has opened it for you since 3 years now. You eat and feed others from it. You kill, force and subjugate its inhabitants. In other words, the Persians that are opposing you. These people have suffered all this at your hands. And have now mustered this army to face you. You are the elite and the best Arabs of each tribe. The honor of those back home. You are the honor of the people who are back home. If you are disinterested towards this world, and you are desirous of the akhirat, Allah Ta'ala will give you both. You'll get the world also, you'll get the akhirat also. This battle will hasten nobody's predestined time of death. When your time is to pass away, you will pass away. But if you lose courage and become weak, your strength will dissipate and your akhirat would be ruined. Sa'ad wrote to the battalions, I have deputed Khalid bin Urfata in my place. Nothing prevents me to be there except my illness and my sores. I have to lie face down, but my heart is with you. So listen to him and obey him, since he is commanding you with my permission and he acts upon my opinions. When this message was read to the troops, it increased their iman and it made them concur with Sa'ad radiallahu anhu's decisions and actions. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu remained on top of the fort's ramparts, supervising the battle from this vantage point. However, the fort was neither impregnable nor well guarded. It's not like now he was, you know, in a fortified fort that the enemy can't get to him, which shows Sa'ad radiallahu anhu's courage. Uthman bin Raja al-Sa'idi said, Sa'ad bin Malik was the most brave and courageous mujahid. He stayed at an unfortified fort between the two armies, supervising his troops from there. If his army was pushed back, even the space of one camel, he would have certainly fallen into the enemy's hands. He was in a very vulnerable position. By Allah, the horrors of the battle did not faze him at all. When Rustam reached Najaf near Qadisiyah, he sent a spy to the Muslim camp. The spy disguised himself as someone who had defected from the Persian side. He saw them using the miswak to cleanse their mouths for every salah. Then they read namaz, and after going to their respective stations, they read namaz and after that they went to all their respective stations. He returned to Rustam and told him about the characters and the other matters of the Muslim army. Rustam asked about the type of food the army was fed. The spy replied, I stayed among them for a night, and I did not observe them eating anything except one toothstick. In other words, the miswak. In the evening they use the miswak, and before dawn also they're using the miswak. When Rustam reached Qadisiyah, he camped between the river Atiq and the fort. While taking a stroll, he heard the muazzin giving azan for Fajr Salah. He saw the Muslims preparing now to read Fajr. Rustam immediately ordered his troops to mount their animals and be ready. When asked the reason, he said, can't you see the battle cry was shouted? He's singing azan was a battle cry. And now they are all getting ready. The same spy spoke up and he told Rustam, he said, they're getting ready for their prayers, getting ready for salah. Rustam exclaimed in Persian, I heard a sound in the morning. It must have been Umar speaking. Na'uzubillah, he uses bad words about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. We don't like to use those words, but he referred to them with bad words. And he says that probably he was teaching them to be smart. He's trying to insult the Muslim army. So when they speak like this, be ready for battle. When the Muazzin called again for Zuhr Salah, Rustam lamented, "It feels as if Umar has eaten my liver." He couldn't take the azan. He gets very frightened when he hears the azan. So we'll stop there. Continue with this inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته